The deities always wear electric pink on Ekadashi.
Really?
They always wear pink and silver, yes. Everywhere. Yeah. Every temple is the same color.
Red.
Red?
Red. Red and pink. White, red and silver, pink.
Oh.
White, pink, silver.
Oh, I see. Could be red as well.
Red is traditional.
Oh, okay. All right.
What's the reasoning for that?
I don't know.
Is this festive?
Mm-hmm. Huh. I don't know. It's
to wake you up, perhaps.
The way it's done, that's all I know.
It's very electrifying. To wake us out of a tamasic stupor. It's a good thing. So I'm going to start on the left-hand side. Oh, the right-hand side. Okay. Okay, this is the same scenario of the Avalon Avalon Hall, and the musicians have been raising quite a ruckus with their beautiful playing. And it says, finally the musicians stopped. The Swami's deep voice echoed through the hall as he spoke a long Sanskrit invocation that sounded like a blessing or a prayer. When I stood up at the end of his prayer, I saw the disappointed and disgusted looks on the faces of the musicians. I was unsure that I'd done the right thing in bringing the chanting to an early close. The Swami walked down the small staircase to the left of the stage with Kirtanananda and Ranchor in tow. Once again, the audience parted to make an aisleway through which he could pass. A few clapped, but most of the ballroom was hushed as the Swami strolled through the crowd, the mirrored ball still beaming bright disks of light across the walls and squeaking slightly now as it rotated. Ranchar opened the door for the Swami and the three of them walked out into the night. Big Brother and the Holding Company took the stage. Their first number was Janis Joplin singing House of the Rising Sun. About half an hour after the Swami left, I saw Ranchor back on the dance floor grooving to Big Brother. He was dancing enthusiastically with a teenage girl about his age with long blonde hair and a tie-dyed sequin miniskirt. The dance continued late into the night. Janis Joplin's performance had the crowd rocking, and afterward, the Grateful Dead got the crowd even more excited. The next day, Ranchor announced to a very disappointed-looking Swami that he would be heading back to New York the next day. "What will you do there?" the Swami asked Ranchor. "Get a job, I guess. This San Francisco scene is kind of fun, but it isn't really right for me. I've seen what's going on out here, and I think I just want to do my own thing now, you know?" "What about your Krishna consciousness?" the Swami asked. "I can take that wherever I go, can I?" It was a rhetorical question that really didn't require an answer. "Where will you stay?" the Swami asked. "I don't know yet, but it won't be a problem. I know lots of people in New York." "When will you leave?" "In a couple of days. I met a girl here, Michelle, and I want to see how things work out with her. See if she'll come to New York with me." To me, the Swami looked sad as he spoke to Ranchor, like a father who's losing a son. A few weeks later, Moby Grape performed with the Doors at the Avalon and in the First Love Circus at the Winterland Arena. They were Moby Grape's first major professional gigs, and soon after, this Columbia Records signed them up. Although her method was unorthodox, Malati had played a significant role in getting the Unknown Band their breakthrough in the music industry. Krishna can do anything. We don't always understand his reasons, but some go up, some go down. It's all according to his will. Okay. Miracle on Second Avenue Key. So now we have the Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 28, entitled Puranjana Becomes a Woman in the Next Life. And this is text 64. Evam sa manaso hamso.
Evam sa manaso hamso.
Evam sa manaso hamso.
Evam sa manaso hamso.
Hamsena pratibodhitaha.
Hamsena pratibodhitaha.
Hamsena pratibodhitaha.
Hamsena pratibodhitaha.
Svastas tadya bicharena.
Svastas
tadya bicharena.
Svastas tadya bicharena.
Nastam apa punasmurtim.
Nastam apa punasmurtim.
Nastam apa punasmurtim.
Nastam apa punasmurtim.
Evam sa manaso hamso.
Evam sa manaso hamso.
Hamsena pratibodhitaha.
Hamsena pratibodhitaha.
Svastas tadvya bicharena.
Svastas tadvya bicharena.
Nastam apa punasmurtim.
Nastam apa punasmurtim. Evam sa manaso hamso.
Evam sa manaso hamso.
Hamsena pratibodhitaha.
Hamsena pratibodhitaha.
Svastasya vicharena.
Svastasya vicharena.
Nashtam apa punasmritim.
Nashtam apa punasmritim.
Evam sa manaso hamso.
Evam sa manaso hamso.
Hamsena pratibadita.
Hamsena pratibodhita.
Svastastadvya vicharena.
Svastastadvya vicharena.
Nashtam apa punasmritim.
Nashtam apa punasmritim.
Evam sa manaso hamso.
Evam sa manaso hamso.
Hamsena pratibodhitaha.
Hamsena pratibodhitaha. Svastastadya
vicharena.
Nashtama apapunasmritim.
Evam sa manaso hamso.
Hamsena pratibodhitaha.
Svastastadya vicharena.
Nashtam apa punasmritim.
Evam sa manaso hamso.
Hamsena pratibodhitaha. Svastastadya vicharena. Nashtam apa punasmritim.
Word for word. Evam.
Evam.
Thus.
Thus.
Saha.
Saha.
He, the individual soul.
He, the individual soul.
Manasaha.
Manasaha.
Living together within the heart.
Living together within the heart.
Hamsaha.
Hamsaha.
Like the swan.
Like the swan.
Hamsena.
Hamsena.
By the other swan.
By the other swan.
Pratibodhitaha.
Pratibodhitaha.
Being instructed.
Being instructed.
Svastaha.
Svastaha.
Situated in self-realization.
Situated in self-realization.
Tadvya vicharena.
Tadvya vicharena.
By being separated from the Supersoul.
By being separated from the Supersoul.
Nastam.
Nastam.
Which was lost.
Which was lost.
Apa.
Apa.
Gained.
Gained.
Punaha.
Punaha.
Again.
Again.
Smortin.
Smortin.
Real memory.
Real memory.
The idea is there's real memory and then there's unreal memory. I struggle with that. Translation. In this way, both swans live together in the heart. When the one swan is instructed by the other, he is situated in his constitutional position. This means he regains his original Krishna consciousness, which was lost because of his material attraction. Together, please. In this way, both swans live together in the heart.
Both swans live together in the heart.
When the one swan,
is instructed by the other,
he is situated in his constitutional position.
This means
he regains his original Krishna consciousness.
He regains his original Krishna consciousness.
Which was lost.
Which was lost.
Because of his material attraction.
Because of his material attraction.
Srila Prabhupada's report. Here it is clearly stated. Hamso hamsena pratibodhitaha. The individual soul and the supersoul are both compared to swans, hamsa, because they are white or uncontaminated. One swan, however, is superior and is the instructor of the other. When the inferior swan is separated from the other swan, he is attracted to material enjoyment. This is the cause of his fall down. When he hears the instructions of the other swan, he understands his real position and is again revived to his original consciousness. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, comes down, avatara, to deliver his devotees and kill the demons. He also gives his sublime instructions in the form of Bhagavad Gita. The individual soul has to understand his position by the grace of the Lord and the spiritual master, because the text of Bhagavad Gita cannot be understood simply by academic qualifications. One has to learn Bhagavad Gita from a realized soul. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti janam janinas tatpadarshinah. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. That's Bhagavad Gita 4:34. Thus, one has to select a bona fide spiritual master and become enlightened to his original consciousness. In this way, the individual soul can understand that he is always subordinate to the supersoul. As soon as he declines to remain subordinate and tries to become an enjoyer, he begins his material conditioning. When he abandons this spirit of being an individual owner or enjoyer, He becomes situated in his liberated state. The word svastaha, meaning situated in one's original position, is very significant in this verse. When one gives up his unwanted attitude of superiority, he becomes situated in his original position. The word tadvyapicharena is also significant, for it indicates that when one is separated from God due to disobedience, his real sense is lost. Again, by the grace of Krishna and Guru, he can be properly situated in his liberated position. These verses are spoken by Srila Narada Muni, and his purpose in speaking them is to revive our consciousness. Although the living entity and the supersoul are one in quality, the individual soul has to pursue the instruction of the supersoul. This is the state of liberation. Om Agyana Timarandasya Giranjana Salakaya Chakshur Anmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhuktale Svayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavam Scha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahadgana Raghunata Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Scha E Krishna Karana Sindhu Dinu Pandu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kamchana Bhavanam Yi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pramami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Turibhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vya Evracha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare. In this way, both swans live together in the heart. When the one swan is instructed by the other, he is situated in his constitutional position. This means he regains his original Krishna consciousness, which was lost because of his material attractions. So the Brahmana personality who has met Vaidarbhi is now explaining the relationship, the intimate and eternal relationship between the soul and the super soul. And the relationship is described as very, very close. And they are intimately connected, except that the lesser of the two has turned away from its mate, has turned away from its mate and is seeking fulfillment elsewhere. So these two, the super soul and the individual soul, same in quality, just different in quantity, they are always together. And for most Westerners, this is a radical and hard to assimilate concept. that there are actually two souls living inside of us. If one has grown up Christian or Judeo, there is this concept that the soul is alone, that we have this inside of us. We have a relationship with our Maker, but there's a great distance. There's a great distance between the two. But what Narada Muni is making very clear in this allegory is that they are so close. They are meant to be inseparable. Meant to be inseparable. They live together in the heart. That's how close they are. And the relationship consists of one taking instruction from the other. So it reminds me of the idea that there are so many people who are looking for a soulmate. Somewhere out there is a person, a personality who is meant to be with me, and I will find all my fulfillment in their presence. And searching for that soulmate may involve going out to clubs at night. It may involve going to newspapers, looking in the want ads. There's a whole, right? There's a whole culture. But so many people are searching in earnest because it's very, very important to find one's soulmate. And it's true that alone we are vulnerable and ignorant. We require this other relationship. Unfortunately, most people don't know that it's already existing together in the heart. And so we spend hundreds of dollars sometimes searching out, trying out, what's the word, shopping around, trying to find a person who will fill that role. And unfortunately, most of these attempts end in disappointment. Because we, in as much as we have the need, we don't understand that there's only one person who will fit that bill. There's only one person who can fulfill all of our greatest needs. And the problem being that we put those needs on the wrong person and we expect way too much out of them. Most intimate long-term relationships can tend to be unfair because we put so much need on the other person. We expect them to know everything. We expect them to pick us up when we fall down. They expect us to pay at least half the bills. And that we expect them to be beautiful always. We expect them to be articulate always. And it's just, the list is, the shopping list is endless. And we just expect way too much out of another Atma. We're all Atmas together. And the definition of Atma is that means subordinate to Paramatma. So the two of them are always together in the heart, and very few people know about this. Hamso Hamsena Pratibodhita. They are both swans. They are both white and uncontaminated. Everyone has this propensity to be uncontaminated. Unfortunately, when we become separated from this relationship, that's when the contamination starts. We start looking outside for the enjoyment. This is the cause of his fall down, Srila Prabhupada explains. Another image of birds comes from the Svetasavatar Upanishad, which explains two friendly birds sitting on the same tree. One of the birds, the individual soul, the Atma, is eating the fruit of the tree, and the other bird is simply watching his friend. Of these two birds, although they are the same in quality, one is captivated by the fruits of the material tree, while the other is simply witnessing the activities of his friend. Krishna is the witnessing bird, and Arjuna, or us, we are the eating bird. If in some way or other the bird turns his face to the Lord and knows his glories. See, this is it. We're all looking for a glorious partner. If we just turn our face to the Lord and know his glories, at once the suffering bird becomes free from all anxieties. So this is peace of mind. Knowing that we are subordinate, we're never going to be as glorious as he is, but we know that he will take care of everything that we need. That's the beginning of this eternal, how do you say, reviving this relationship. Once the relationship becomes activated, then it isn't so much of a one-way dependency. It becomes interactive, and the giving goes back and forth, and one satisfies the other, and it escalates from there. Isn't that the ideal relationship? It just can't be found through in a material setting. From another individual soul. There's only one who can make that happen for us. So this is the great missing link in so many people's consciousness. Both live together in the heart. And we need to give up our unwanted attitude in order to activate it. This unwanted attitude is superiority. We need to know that there is one greater than us. And then our senses, we come back to our senses. We become properly situated. Srila Prabhupada describes, the individual soul has to pursue the instruction of the supersoul. That is the state of liberation. So, I'll read the verse again. In this way, both swans live together in the heart. When the one swan is instructed by the other, he is situated in his constitutional position. This means he regains his original Krishna consciousness, which was lost because of his material attraction. So I welcome your comments and corrections.
Explaining how in mundane relationships, because we have that desire to look for a perfect match, whether it's in any of actually relationship, like friends or romantic relationship, we're looking for someone that is like perfectly fulfills everything that we want them to fulfill, but that doesn't exist in the material world. I thought that was interesting because I've heard people, devotees, talk about this idea of, like, you know, accepting people where they're at. And I guess a lot of that has to do with sometimes we have unfair expectations of other people.
That's it.
And but like an actual realistic sort of way to look at it is not to have those expectations. To actually understand that this person is who he is or who she is at this time, and then accept them from that and go from there. But maybe it's because of that desire to, you know, that everyone, oneself be perfect, and everyone else should also be perfect, that then we have a desire to live.
Thank you. I mean, the soul has this need to find that perfection. And if one continues from mundane relationship one to another and just gets burnt one after another, it's so frustrating. The devotee, however, comes from the platform of being established in relationship with Krishna. You feel so confident and so satisfied in that way. Then, at that point, you can tolerate, how do you say, take people where they're at. Because you don't, like you say, you don't hold them to that yardstick anymore. It's very freeing. It's very freeing.
I maybe it's good that we have unrealistic expectations, because if you just accept, that's when we're never satisfied. That's when, until you get into a relationship with Krishna. If you can set up, you know, if you are satisfied with someone who is less than perfect, then you're not going to look anymore. You'll be, you know, unhappy. I don't need anything.
I guess the question is, where do you look to find that? Because the idea is there that someone may have unfulfilled mundane relationships and over and over and over and just be unsatisfied and then just keep coming back.
At one point, you have to realize that it's something.
Yeah. When does that light go on? Does it take many lifetimes? I'm sure for many people it takes many lifetimes to figure that out.
Otherwise, if you're always satisfied with whatever you have, then you're not looking for anything. You're just, wherever you go, you are satisfied. If you even go down into animal life, you always, you know, it's a problem.
maybe it's better.
He's doing his best.
It's been.
One point though is, because in devotional life there's a sort of perfection in imperfection, because if someone's like sincerely practicing sadhana bhakti, even if they don't have, even if they're not like even a pure devotee, because they're moving in that direction and because they're actually trying, in a sense they're perfect. And Prabhupada would sometimes say that, like, my disciples are all pure devotees, but they're not, you know, they're not like, you were talking about the other day. He'd say they're all pure devotees, but they're not advanced. Or he would say something like that.
That's nice.
So in devotional relationships also then, even if someone has so many problems, you can still have actually a realistic understanding of accepting them where they're at. If they're actually trying, if they're actually following the process.
It's easier to give that concession.
Yeah.
And not be angry and keep hitting the person over the head. Why aren't you perfect?
Yeah.
Why are you so late, sloppy, etc.? All this stuff. We're all works in progress.
The examples are pock marks on the moon. The moon is still beautiful. And the person in the shower was dirty, but he's in the shower. You don't criticize him for being dirty because he's taking a shower.
Beautiful.
Those are Prabhupada's. And a couple of things. One was on 26th Second Avenue, a miracle. One was when you know, the members of the band looked at Mukunda Maharaj and they're like, it made us stop early. It's like if we invited, like, you know, like Taylor Swift to do a benefit concert and she's up on stage performing and all of a sudden we say, okay. But they, you know, it's sort of like, they were big, these groups back then, Moby Grape and Janis Joplin, Grateful Dead, they were big. And they're like, And they didn't like it when, apparently, that's the first I heard that, but they didn't like it when he told them to stop. They wanted to keep going. They were known for playing for hours. But the thing is, that Mukunda Maharaj, and ordinarily, if you displease some famous person like that, you'd be like, oh man, I really messed up. And you'd be all like apologizing and regretful. But they were trying to please Prabhupada and Krishna, and it's true, Prabhupada was an elderly man involved in strenuous physical exertion, and it wasn't good for him, as the devotees found out shortly after when he had like stroke, and they were careful to control his activities more. So they were trying to please Prabhupada and Krishna, and they did the right thing. It didn't matter what Janis Joplin or Grateful Dead thought. They pleased Krishna. Mm. And a couple of comments, one on the verse. One was, in the verse itself, Prabhupada, the verse says, they regained his real memory, his original memory. And Prabhupada translates that as, this means he regains his original Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada, it doesn't say that in the Sanskrit words, but Prabhupada, being a pure devotee, an intimate associate of Krishna, he knows what is meant by regain your memory. Regain your memory means you regain your original Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada did that all throughout his translations and purports all over Srimad Bhagavatam. And another one was, you were talking about how people don't know that their self-interest is to please Krishna, and that's a verse that Prabhupada quotes frequently throughout his purports. He always quotes, Nate vidu swatagatam vivishnu. They don't know that their ultimate benefit, swatagatam, ultimate goal, is to please Krishna. They don't know that. The whole point of the preaching is to remind people that you think your interest is in getting your sense gratification for yourself, but it's not. It's a mistake. Your ultimate interest is to satisfy Krishna's senses. And the last one that I wrote down was, and Prabhupada says, when a person stops trying to be superior and the enjoyer, then he can take to Krishna consciousness and accept good instruction from a bona fide spiritual master. And so the point is, one point is that if you're trying to be superior, you're trying to live a puffed up material life, it's a burden for the soul. If somebody becomes like famous, rich and famous, they can't go out in public, or people are always taking their picture and asking for autographs. That's just an obvious example of how it's a burden. But it doesn't matter, the pauper, Prabhupada says the pauper is proud of his pennies. So even if you're a pauper, if you're in the material consciousness that I am this body and I'm meant to enjoy in my senses in this material world, that's just as much a burden. It's the same burden as if you have the facility for sense gratification. The mentality is the burden. The mentality that I am superior, or I should be superior, or I am and I should be the important one, I should be recognized, I should be the enjoyer. That's the essence of the encumbrance or the burden. Prabhupada said that these bodies, the body that we're so proud of, especially there's this one guy who runs through, you've probably seen him, he runs through Harvard Square, I don't know, in Copley Square all the time, this big guy, like 6'5", and he's got a chest that's this big around, and like super muscle guy. He's some kind of professional athlete, obviously. He runs through, you see him? He runs through Copy Square all the time. And it's like, he got this big, perfect body, good looking young guy, so big and strong. But that body, for whether you have a body like that or you have a little, like a body like Stephen Hawking, who can't even move, you know, and then, but whatever kind of, it's an embarrassment for the soul. You have to carry this thing around with you everywhere you go. This big, gross thing, you know, blood and guts and bones, you just have to carry it with you everywhere you go. But man, it's embarrassing for the soul. The soul is much finer, much more beautiful, much more intelligent, much stronger, and much more everything. Those are my comments.
Thank you.
You're making the point about, it says the word memory in Prabhupada, you know, knows that it means original consciousness.
Original Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, original Krishna consciousness. And there's a devotee named Gopal Hari, who, he's a professor at the University of Idaho. And he's, you know, he was like a genius from a really young age. And he got his PhD in Vaishnava studies and did his thesis on the Bhagavatam, on Maya and the problem of evil. Really amazing devotee. He came to San Diego recently. And he was saying that if, you know, when they, scholars study different texts of the Bhagavatam, because there's different, you know, ancient texts that they study, you know, they do a critical analysis of the different texts of the Bhagavatam. There are certain words that are sometimes different in different Bhagavatams around that they find in India. And he was mentioning something really interesting, was that he himself would find, you know, like in these like really ancient versions of the Bhagavatam, he would find some discrepancy, like one word that'd be different than the one in Prabhupada's Gita. But he would say that every time that was there, it was like Prabhupada, when he translated the words and the verses, had the exact meaning of even like the more ancient version of the Bhagavatam. So it was almost like, and he was saying that it was like Prabhupada knew it, even though maybe materially it wasn't so, right. You know, it wasn't there in the Sanskrit, but somehow Prabhupada knew it.
He had that intuition.
Yeah, and he mentioned that this is a concept that's in, even in Islam and other texts, that even if for some reason there seems to be some discrepancy in the text or something, if it's given by a prophet or an enlightened person, then it's still divinely revealed. Like in Islam, there's, I forget the name of the prophet, but you know, the Quran was there, and then all these versions of the Quran were destroyed, and only this one version was left, which people say was changed. But it was given by a prophet, so Muslims accept that as still divinely revealed. Even if it's changed, it's given by a prophet, so it's still divine revelation. So I thought that was an interesting point too.
The prophet said specifically in regard to the Krishna book, is that Krishna wrote this book.
Yeah.
I mean, it's more than just intuition. It's Krishna telling Prabhupada what to write. And he said, he literally said that, at least in relationship to Krishna book.
Thank you. All right. Thanks for your attention. I won't be here next week. I'll be back on Friday. So please take my blessings. Gurantra Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai.